When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. So, TED Talks, huh? You guys have been to TED.com. You've probably heard people talking about it on the Twitters, this idea of this conference where inspiring people have these wonderful speeches about their products or their philosophies. I watch them too. You know, it's one of my nightly viewings along with the news and whatnot. And every once in a while, I think I did a Thunder Punch Daily a while ago about a gal who did a speech on video games, and she said some things that kind of bummed me out, and I responded to that. But another one caught my attention, and I'll link to it on the post that goes along with this episode. And it was by a guy named Simon Sinek, and I think the title was How Great Leaders Inspire Action. And his philosophy, he was kind of talking about it like from a business consultant's point of view. But his core philosophy was this, and like all public speakers, he had to come up with this, you know, like some kind of symbol system to demonstrate his point, which is actually, you know, as somebody who does a little bit of public speaking himself, that's exceedingly useful to help make your points. He does this thing called the golden circle. And at the center of the circle is why, and then the extending circle out of that center circle is how, and then the final circle on the outermost edge is what. And he talks about how a lot of businesses will talk about what they do and how they do it, but they never explain to you in clear terms why they do what they do. And as he explains in his little speech, he's not talking about why in terms of making a profit, making a good business. He means why as in what is the core philosophy of your business. And I thought it was a pretty good speech presentation. Because I think that's true, that a lot of times when you're presented with a new... I see this happening amongst comics people who are trying to promote their work. They'll send out press releases. I think I mentioned in the last Thunder Punch Daily, we get our fair share of press releases from comics people, and they want us to report about it on our show. And I won't go into any further than that. I've already explained in the last episode why those emails just get archived. But often the press releases are... this is an exciting new comic from so-and-so who did such-and-such, and the comic's about this, and rarely do I get a sense of, well, what makes you different than anybody else? If it's an action-adventure story about samurai, explain to me the one thing that makes it unique. Also, I'm going to stay on this business tack just for a second, but then I'm going to tie this into some other things that I think are important to think about as cartoonists, especially independent cartoonists. Also, in terms of getting a collaborator to join you in a project. You know, this was something that I'm not going to profess that I'm some kind of great genius of psychological manipulation. But when I started up Sugary Cereals, I knew that if I just presented this thing as another comics anthology online, nobody was going to participate because there was more than a dozen of them online. You could join any comics anthology online. Hey, what did I have with Sugary Cereals that you couldn't get out of being in a Drunk Duck or in a Graphic Smash or any of these other anthologies online? So it occurred to me that I really need to explain to these people what the central philosophy of Sugary Cereals is. This not only helps you make your case for why somebody should participate, but it also gives you a yardstick by which you can measure all applicants, how you can determine, and I think I talked about this before in an episode of Art and Story with Mark about collaboration, as a matter of fact. Or no, I think we actually did one on, on collaborations and anthologies. It might have been called The Big Anthology now that I think about it. But by having a core value of what is Sugary Cereals about, Sugary Cereals is a online comics anthology that wants to make comics that feel just like Saturday morning cartoons. Comics that are good for all ages, okay? And then from that sentence, I built out an entire core philosophy that I posted on the Sugary Cereals site. It's on the About page. It spells it all out. And I say what the core philosophy is, and then I explain how we're going to do it, and then there's the what, the how, the why, how, and what that Sinek was talking about in his speech. It was all there on the about page of Sugar Cereals. And it felt kind of validating to watch this guy's speech and go, yeah, I did that. So it's good for your business to understand what is the philosophy of what you do. What's your mission? What do you hope to achieve with the thing that you're doing, with the book that you're doing? Now let's talk about books. Let's talk about the comics. This mirrors, all you have to do is take the word business out and replace all the business language with creative construction language, comics making language, and you have this concept of the theme. You've heard me beat on this theme drum quite a bit in past Thunder Punch Dailies and in Art and Stories podcasts. But it's true. The theme, it, for those who are having trouble figuring out what the heck I mean by theme, is all it really is the why of your story and why anybody should care. You're explaining to them in one sentence what this story is essentially about and what thought you are wrestling with through the story. And with that one sentence, you're going to explain why people should give a darn about it. And there's your elevator pitch. There's like for people who are like, well, how do I pitch this book at a convention? How do I explain this in two sentences? Well, if you've got a theme, if you've got a why of your story, then you have that one sentence to explain to somebody so that regardless of the genre or surface area styles, like, so if we were going to like, let's do this guy's golden circle, Sinek's golden circle for the front. The why is the story of a boy who encounters the world of adulthood before he feels he is ready. And then we go to the how. How does this happen? He grows up in a relatively obscure town and is suddenly attacked by giant monsters and mercenaries with talking guns. And it was revealed to him by his father that he's very special and there's this old ancient guy who's going to get him. And then the what is you have a comedic superhero action-adventure fantasy story. There's the building out. Now, if I were to say to somebody who comes up to the table, hey, what's this thing called The Front about? Well, it's a superhero fantasy action-adventure story, sort of a comedy based on Saturday morning cartoons. That doesn't really tell them what the story's about, does it? It doesn't tell them why they should care about the story. I'm just giving them the surface features, genre stuff. So it was a good reminder to me, this guy's speech, that in thinking about our work, if we can identify that why, it gives us a better presentation for the work. So I can say to them, it's a coming-of-age story about a boy who's thrown into the world of adulthood before he feels that he's ready. And how does he deal with it? How does he overcome that? How does he come to terms with it? Or does he come to terms with it? And then all the other stuff is just surface feature stuff that, you know, I've had people tell me that, you know, I'm not even a superhero fan, but I like The Front, despite the fact that it's superheroes. So you have a potential to reach a wider audience with that. But let's get even deeper into this books thing, this creative thing. By having that why at the outset, now you have a core value to measure all of the actions in your story, all of the interactions, all of the acting moments, even the paneling. We just talked about this in Art and Story number 130 with Raul Aguirre Jr. of the Man vs. Art podcast. Everything should be infected by that central core idea. It should color it in some way so that if I throw in an emotion like glum on a character, it should be infected by that core philosophy of what I'm trying to say through the work. In some way, it's going to be intangible. It's not going to be something where I can give you a McLeodian chart or a Venn diagram to explain exactly what percentage of the core why central philosophy theme of the story has infected this pose of thirsty walking away feeling glum. But it will be there, and creatively you'll be able to detect it. So it helps you as a business person. It helps you as a creative person to know why. It also, I mean, I kind of hate to say it, because this is where I get to start sounding like a motivational speaker a little bit. But I also believe that it gives you, makes you a little bit of a better person overall to know why you do what you do. I've made a joke before on the show many times about the thing that my wife once said to me, where she said, "Well, I thought when I was a little kid that I was going to wake up one morning and say I'm a Republican. That's all. I don't have to think about it." Or a Democrat, or an independent, or a libertarian, whatever it is. Anytime you put a label on a philosophy, it's a provisional word. But people like to use those words to, reduce the amount of energy they have to put into thinking about what they do, why they do what they do. And I'm feeling like I'm talking like Seth Godin. But I do think that it helps you remain consistent in your not only your behavior, but what you what your efforts are overall to know why are you making comics? It's that's a tough one to pin down because I love them. Okay. But, you know, the longer I do it, the more specific my goals are becoming about this. Like, why do I make comics? I want to make comics because I want to do for an eight-year-old kid what comics did for me when I was an eight-year-old kid. That is the core of my philosophy in terms of my creative energies. And that's why when somebody comes to me with a story, I can easily evaluate whether or not it's appropriate for me. If it's a hard-hitting sci-fi murder mystery... with a little bit of sex and a little bit of you know, decapitations and disembowelments, I can say very easily, no, that's not really for me. Why? Because I want to make comics that do for 8-year-olds what comics did for me when I was 8, and that comic would not do that. That comic, it may or may not be a great comic for somebody else, but I'm interested in this kind of comic that did exactly what comics did for me. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying here? I'm talking about a central philosophy guiding you as an artist throughout your life. And, you know, and my why has also kind of evolved into this whole notion of helping protect the comics art form by becoming an advocate for comics. That's a big motivation behind what I do. And then that it becomes this why that helps guide your actions and keep you having a consistent behavior to where I can pick my battles more easily. So if I hear somebody say something online that I just patently disagree with, I can say, well, this goes back to the episode of Thunder Punch Daily where I was talking about the difference between debating and fighting, is I can determine, well, I could debate them on this, but what is the outcome? What's the outcome I want? The outcome I want is to promote comics. Is fighting this guy going to help promote comics? Is it going to help raise awareness of certain things about comics? Is it going to help people feel a little better about this comics art form? That's how I determine whether it's a fight worth fighting. So if it's just some hothead who's just saying, all ages comics are stupid and they're all dumbed down and they're for kids, I could fight that guy on that, but that's such a weak and kind of flimsy straw man argument. It's just based on his ignorant assumptions about the art form. And plus, you also have to view it or evaluate it on who is actually saying this. Is this a person of great prestige that if I fight them publicly, I can bring awareness to the complexity of the issue at hand? That kind of stuff. But if in those kind of cases, I can just walk away from it because, yeah, it's really not going to help comics if I get into an argument with this guy. So, man, you know, it sounds so, ooh, I don't want to sound like I'm sitting on a lotus or, in a pond contemplating the universe, but why is such an important word to keep asking yourself why you're doing what you're doing? The thing I say to my students in class all the time is there's no right or wrong answer when I'm in the room, providing you can tell me what you were thinking. You have to tell me why. You can't just say, well, because that's all. Duh. You know, that's not an answer. That's what I demand of my students. That's what I demand of my friends is to intellectually justify everything that you're saying and doing. And it can be as simple as a sentence of, I want this out of that. And it'll make your comic book storytelling better. It'll make you a more attentive and consistent artist. And it makes you a better business person. So, like, again, I'll link to this talk in the show notes. This isn't any kind of new stuff for most of us, but it's a good reminder to us to just, when we, you know, ask ourselves every once in a while why we're doing what we're doing and see if you can actually make your case for what you're doing. And if you can't, start thinking about it because, like I said, it'll make you a clearer thinker and clearer presenter in the long run. Okay, so who am I? I'm Jersey. Jersey Drozd, that is. Jersey on the Twitters. jdrozd.com. Thanks for your support of this project. We couldn't do it without you. I say it again and again, but it's worth repeating. We've had some more people sign up for subscriptions recently, and we're getting closer to that goal number of people who will make this thing financially sustainable. So we're actually getting paid freelance rate, like our freelance illustration rate money for the time we put into this stuff, and you know, the more subscribers we get, the more content we can create. I personally would have no problem whatsoever making this my full-time job and then doing my comics on the side and then just give up all freelance work. So you guys can make that possible, and you are making that possible. So, you know, it's worth reminding you guys that you're pretty cool. So don't forget to check out the other stuff. We just posted some new videos on the site, and I'm going to be posting another one either next week or the week after. I'm going to speed it up a little bit because I've got part two of my inking and digitally finishing video. series that I was working on, where I was documenting a commission I did for Jamie Gamble. So, okay, thanks again, for everybody, for listening. I've been Jersey Drozd. I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody,
being the most powerful man in the universe isn't all that makes He-Man such a great hero. Being strong is fine, but there's something even better. In today's story, He-Man used something even more powerful than his muscles to beat Skeletor. You know what it was? If you said his brain, you were right. And just like a muscle, your brain is something you can develop to give yourself great power.